Hey, Thomas Paine Podcast. We're going to do a bonus edition here. We're going to play the full interview with FBI decorated former federal agent Robin Gritz. Played most of it, I think, last week. I don't put the whole thing out so people can listen to it. And she has a lot to say, so I want to put it out so you can hear what she has to say. That's what this is all about. What's going on with this music? This Mexican Standoff is the name of this song. Yikes. Regular plugs. I'm going to make a big deal out of it because I just want to put this out there so you can listen to it. You can find us on truepundit.com. News. Thomas 1774 Paine on Twitter. True_pundit. Twitter. Patreon.com/truepundit if you want to see me do news TV. There's like 80 shows on there. Me talking about weekly current events and politics and breaking things down from an analytical standpoint. This is a really strong interview with Robin. And we had, the name of the intro music was Mexican Standoff. I feel like we're in a Mexican standoff with the government half the time. We're back at the Alamo. Great feedback from last week's episode and equally strong numbers. So obviously people like what she had to say and her honesty, and we're going to put this extended version they used to say in the 1980s. This will be the 10-inch version or the 7-inch version of the LP. Put this out so you can listen to it. And a lot of stuff going on this past weekend. Today is Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yesterday, news broke about Department of Homeland Security whistleblower Phil Haney found shot, killed in California. A lot of rumors flying around the internet yesterday, so I had to get off my ass and be a professional journalist and try to track down some facts, and that's what we did. That story is on top of our Twitter, and I think it's still leading our homepage on truepundit.com. Spoke to high-ranking family member, close family member, and she was kind of taken aback by all the rumors that were spreading around on social media, and I told her that's just the way it is. These people are crazy. Some news organizations will take a string of tweets and make a news story out of them. I mean, it's like equivalent to if you ran a high school newspaper in a mental institution. I don't understand it. Neither did she. You know, if you're listening out there, journalists, if you're writing about someone who's died, you know, there's a grieving family at the other end of the story. So you might want to keep that in mind, have some sensitivity to it. Although it takes a long time to figure out parameters of sensitivity. And I was outside my comfort zone directly talking to family members because it's not something I do. But this guy was a federal agent, and I figured I used some contacts to figure out who to speak to, and that's what I did. Broke the story early that yesterday that family members didn't think this was going to be a suicide situation. He's found one gunshot wound to the chest. So I asked straight out, do you think he committed suicide? The consensus in the family is absolutely not. Now, that was before suicide even became an issue, and then we did a story. We said family seriously doubts death was a suicide. And what happens? We get attacked because we brought up suicide. I just sat back and I said, you'll see. You'll see how this plays out. 8 hours later, the cops came out and said it was a suicide. Here's the ironic part. I was the only guy to contact anybody to get direct confirmation that, number one, the guy was dead. Phil Haney had died from a gunshot wound. Number two, the only person to contact the family to get some details. Everybody else was running wild with hearsay and rumors. So I always get a kick out of folks who criticize the methodology of news gathering when now the standard has become basically publish anything you find on a bar floor scribbled on a cocktail napkin. So after 30 plus years of interviewing people, I know what to ask, and I'm not uncomfortable asking questions. And if you're uncomfortable reading good news, you should fucking go somewhere else. I knew this would become an issue because it always does in recent history with the Epstein situation and things. This guy was a high-level whistleblower. And there's going to be controversy over the death no matter what. The family says he didn't kill himself. There's no way that happened. Now the police are saying he killed himself. There. Now guess what? For all you rookie journalists out there, I don't have to call the woman back who's grieving and get in her face again. I did all my question asking initially. Even though it's uncomfortable sometimes to ask hard questions, you have to do it. Now that woman can be left alone to grieve without me calling her back and pestering her. See? That's how it works. So you're free to criticize on Twitter and everywhere else about how stupid I am and how bad I am at news gathering, but always come out smelling like a rose, folks. So that's that. We'll cover that more in the coming days and on my next podcast. That is breaking it this weekend. Let's get into this interview with Robin Gritz. Thanks for all your support. A couple days. I'm going to record this. What are your thoughts on this whole McCabe debacle?
Well, you know, I think it's really showing a double tier. I mean, they probably have their reasons, you know, you want to see this, but I mean, they charged like Flynn with the same exact thing.
Yeah, but they're not willing to talk. If you do this, you get locked up.
Yeah. And there are people, if you go onto DOJ's webpage, OIG, they'll say who has been sentenced for this and who has been charged with it. And in all the agencies underneath DOJ. And so it is, I can see where they're saying they don't want to lose a weak case, but at the same time, what about all the other people that have been charged and sentenced for this? You know, in the same positions or near.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really look like, it doesn't look like a weak case to me. They got him four times.
I know. And here's the other thing that pisses me off is that not only did they get him four times, he tried to get assistant director in charge of New York and Washington Field in trouble for this. He blamed it on them, told them to get their affairs in order, basically.
Yeah, he was framing other guys. He was framing, you know, framing guys to cover himself.
Well, the one thing that Andrew McCarthy says in the National Review is he did this not for, and this is why they were looking at charging him and doing the criminal investigation, is he didn't do this in the interest of the public, in the interest of good. He did it in the interest for himself to look better.
Well, I mean, that's...
And that is, that's the epitome of Annie McCabe.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. I mean, McCarthy is a little late to the party. We've been saying this for over 2 years, and McCarthy's a former justice guy, and he's... I call him in like the beautiful people club where everybody retweets him, the establishment right wing and stuff, but it's common sense.
He says a lot of, yeah, but he's got a lot of good in this article, and you know, it made me feel a little bit better, but at the same time, not a whole lot better, because you know, I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, I started calling people trying to find out, is this everything, or is this just the four times lying? And I was reassured that it was just the four times lying, and that the FISA abuse and the Russia investigation and all the stuff that Durham's finding is not involved in this. And, you know, and then I keep hearing, oh, these people of the world are going to get rocked and this and that. When are we going to see that? They shouldn't be putting that stuff out. It's really pissing a lot of people off.
Who are you talking about? Sean Hannity.
You know, someone posted this yesterday. A lot of patriots are patient, but we're getting pissed. We need a. This is bullshit, basically. You know, we need a win.
Well, Hannity's been selling this for 2.5 years. He goes from one thing to another. He leapfrogs. This scandal doesn't work out, so he moves on to the next scandal and the next scandal. And he's got a hell of a scam worked out.
Yeah, the thing is, it hurts when you're crying. I mean, he's almost crying wolf about this. He's almost keeps building it up. And everyone gets, like, excited. Indictments are coming out and this and that. And then you see that they declined to prosecute. It's tough because, you know, mainstream media is, I mean, look at that. He had McCabe on yesterday, on the day that he was, you know, confirmed that the declination came out. He's on there, you know, now my family can go on and this and that. And it's like, what about everyone else you destroyed?
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's destroyed a lot of lives. It's not just, it's General Flynn is the one that we are all seeing in the news. There's me, and there are many others. And there are some we probably don't even know. And, you know, those people may have taken their lives. You know, there's suicides out the rear end in the Bureau, from what I understand. And, you know, all of it is under his and Mueller's leadership. And, you know, leading by fear and intimidation. And it's just, you know, I guess with me, I'm a little confused in it. I'm angry, but at the same time, I'm trying to hold out hope.
Well, I think it's natural to hold out hope.
If all else fails, man, I'm unloading in my case.
What do you mean unloading?
I am just, you know, open the closets up and watch the skeletons dance out.
Well, there are a lot of skeletons, for sure.
He has a lot of skeletons, and you know, the Bureau has been through a lot, but and I you know, talking to current agents and retired agents about this, they're very upset. It put morale in the toilet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because that's kind of the same feel we're getting. But
yeah, I'm definitely getting that. Retired agents that I don't even know have been messaging me. You know, I'm thinking about you, this bullshit. And basically said any of us would be locked up.
Well, I said last week.
Two tiers.
Yeah, exactly. I said last week that, and I want your opinion on this, because you've been around. You were in the Bureau for 16 years and climbed your way up. So these guys know too much. And if you indict McCabe, you know this guy, Robin. He is a rat. He will rat everybody out. He will sing like a canary. I've seen this guy 100 times, this kind of guy.
I'm hearing you singing like a canary.
Already?
Yeah.
I mean, who's he singing to?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'd like to know. Is he singing to Durham? Is he singing to... I mean, it wouldn't be to OIG, because OIG is not going to do the prosecution. He would have to... he would have to be negotiating some type of plea agreement, I would think, in order to be singing like a canary. The plea agreement does not mean he's going to get immunity, and that was going around all last week. The plea agreement means he's trying to plea for less time.
Right.
And, you know, in my opinion, he's facing some serious charges. That, you know, could be serious if the charges are being investigated correctly and thoroughly. Sorry about that. I keep getting a call from New York. I think it's Fox News. He is facing some serious charges, and he knows it. I mean, the guy is not stupid to get up. I mean, he's emotional, but he's not stupid. And he knows that his, you know, battle's not over. The war's not over. This battle, you know, he may have won this battle, he's not going to win the war, but he knows he's facing some serious charges because he knows what he did. So he's got to try and, I mean, he's got to try and whittle down that time he's going to spend behind, you know.
What happens if nothing? What happens if nothing happens? What happens if he doesn't get charged with anything? Where does that put us as a country?
I don't know,
where does
man.
That put
I think
you?
That's going to be. I think it's well. Me, my case has nothing to do with all of this. My case started in 2012, and has to do with discrimination and retaliation, and what he did. And I have proof of all that, so I'm not really worried about my case. My case is, you know.
Right.
Before this time, someone actually said that to me. You were before your time. You recognized this before it became an issue for the entire country, and no one listened to you. That's true. But I reported all this to OIG, and they didn't listen to me. So, not all this, but unethical behavior and activities. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be civil unrest.
Civil unrest.
I do.
Yeah.
I think people are going to start fucking flipping out. People are at their wit's end. And I, you know, yeah, to me, it will be a bad day if he does not get charged. I think it'll be a bad day for the U.S. government, for the FBI, for the Department of Justice, if he does not get charged. The entire world is watching this.
That is true. I've said that.
The entire world knows what they all did was wrong. They may not want to admit it because they're so caught up in the my side, your side. But you all know damn well, deep down inside, this was wrong. And the whole world is watching it.
The whole world is watching it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've gotten messages from overseas. Just the whole world is watching this. And they, you know, it has already done so much damage to our national security in our country. And can that be reversed? I'm not sure if it could totally be reversed, but I think it has a chance of being reversed if we see actual justice and not a two-tier form
of justice.
Okay,
so I kind of understand what you're saying by there's been a lot of damage to national security, but most people listening probably don't know what that means. So what do you mean by
it's
that?
Weak. It's made us look weak to not only our allies, but to our enemies. If we look in turmoil, and it's all because, I mean, when I was in the FBI, I mean, we dealt with, you know, third world countries. You know, my squad put Chucky Taylor away, son of Charles Taylor in Liberia, who was a dictator, who, you know, you're looking at war crimes, you're looking at active coups and everything. That's what this is. This is a coup. This is exactly what we see in other countries, and we go, oh my gosh, look what's happening over there. Well, guess what? It happened here. And it needs to be handled. People need to be held accountable. People need to go to jail, or it makes us look even weaker. And then we're going to get, you know, the national security. Well, first of all, with the national security, if you look at all the people that were involved in this coup, they were all counterintelligence and counterterrorism. That's the national security branch. Right there in the FBI, your premier law enforcement agency. That's it, right there. And they promoted all their cronies, and their cronies are still in and get promoted by Ray. And until someone takes the reins of that agency and starts to seriously, first of all, admit this happened in the agency, admit it was wrong, admit it was criminal, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to clean frickin' house. We're going to bring someone in, and I keep saying Matt Whitaker, someone in with a big set of balls that does not give a shit about all the egos there, that comes in with one thing in mind. I'm going to reform this agency, and I'm going to get rid of not only the dead weight, but the bad weight. And that's going to take a lot of people out of a job. And if that starts happening, people need to see the writing on the walls and start just finding a job elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, this is not the agency I joined. And I'm hearing that from a lot of retired agents. I mean, I got guys, you know, they got in, you know, in like the 60s and 70s. And they're, you know, this is not the agent. What happened? And, you know, it's the power got too big. I mean, you need to also look at how many violations the FBI is responsible for, more than any other federal agency. Maybe some of that responsibility needs to be spread back out to some of the other agencies and take some of that power out of the FBI's hands.
I mean,
maybe
take, you know, the FBI is investigating drugs too. It's like, what the fuck are you investigating drugs for? The DEA is supposed to be that. Kick it to the DEA.
Yeah, bingo, like that.
Right.
That, identity theft goes to Secret Service. Certain other things go to, like, Department of Energy, like WMD stuff. I understand why the FBI is involved, and, you know, it's like a big group that's involved in that. But I just think that too much, especially after 9/11, has been assigned over to the FBI, and all that power was given to the FBI. And all these people that were in the coup came over to counterterrorism after 9/11. They were not, most of them were not working, except for Carl Gattis, were not working terrorism prior to 9/11. They came over because they saw that power. This is the next big, this is how I'm going to punch my ticket to get to the top.
Well, you
now,
can,
one thing I keep pointing
Keep
pointing out about McCabe is, you know, we have those property records that in 1998, bought a house in Chappaqua on a new agent salary under his wife's maiden name within a mile of the Clintons.
We lived, Robin, it was like
2 miles of,
it was 0.4 of a mile. We did the math and we sent somebody up there to walk it off. It's like a 10 minute walk.
Say that, because I've been pushing this. I've been pushing with Nunez, pushing with Grassley.
Well,
and I've already pushed
you
forward.
I've talked to other people too, and I want to get into this. Who've told me Nunez and Grassley and this whole crew, and I talked about it last week on the podcast. These guys, like, showed their ass to these guys and said, "Hey, these former intel guys said, hey, we need help here." The whistleblowers went to them, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, we'll help you, we'll help you," but nothing really ever gets done. Isn't that frustrating?
Nothing gets done. Well, here's the thing, also with the whistleblower law, there is no. Okay, people don't understand, when you're a whistleblower, and someone actually brought this up with me on Twitter yesterday, they're like, why did it cost you so much money to stand up for the truth? Because when you're a whistleblower, I include EEO complainants and whistleblowers in the same boat, because there's still problems they're reporting. The reason it costs you money is because there's always retaliation. I don't know of a case of them not being retaliation in the FBI against an EEO complainant or whistleblower. There's always a bogus OPR thrown at them, internal affairs. You got to get an attorney for that. And then you're also pushing your complaint through the system. And you can't do that on your own. I tried that. I tried to be pro se. You have to know all the different legalities of employment law in order to push your complaint through the system and have any say in, like, motions to dismiss. So you have to pay an attorney to do all that. And the attorney is labor intensive. It does not come cheap. You know, I'm blessed that I have a law firm now that is doing it on contingency. I did not have that at the beginning.
Right.
I mean, that's about $50,000 within a year and a half. Within a year and a half, $50,000.
The money goes
lost
fast.
Lost my job.
Money goes fast.
Yeah,
you know that.
Lost my job. Yeah, drained my savings. Lost my job. Lost my house. Deemed homeless by Pennsylvania, put out $50,000 for attorney fees. And I did nothing wrong. I reported discrimination and retaliation. And they came after me 5 days after I reported it.
Reported on McCabe.
Yeah, McCabe authorized it.
Right.
In his statement, he even states that he knew I had filed or was filing. He knew. So, he knew who I was filing it against. He signs off on a referral to OPR authored by those SOBs, by the same guys that I was filing the EEO against. And then he drove the retaliation. I have documents that he wrote on and he lied on. When you compare them to any other comment, including my direct supervisor at the other agency, his comments across the board conflict with that, conflict with what I did, conflict with my stats, conflict with what my direct supervisor at the agency said about me conflict with numerous other people said about me. Andy McCabe is a liar. Pure and simple. He was, just because they declined to prosecute him does not mean he's not a liar. He still is fired for lack of candor.
So you got your supervisors at CIA gave you a glowing recommendation, CIA. And then your supervisors at CIA say, hey, she's solid, and then you have over a decade of good reviews at the FBI, and then all of a sudden, after you file some grievance, McCabe drops the hammer. Uh-huh. She's a piece of shit, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just a couple of years before all this, he was my rating official and rated me excellent.
Right.
So how did I go from that, representing the FBI in a four-month sabbatical with 141 students, 43 countries? I was representing the FBI there. I was pick number one to go to that. How did I go through all these promotions?
Where was that, Germany?
How did I go through all these promotions in a row only to be a piece of shit, basically?
Well, you notice with these people, everybody else is the problem. You notice that? But you have a number of people saying, hey, this guy's a problem, but everybody else is the president. It's Robin. It's this person. It's that. It's the media. They're picking on me. And it's like, come on, buddy.
Take a look in the mirror. I mean, there's always things you could have yourself done better. And the hallmark of maturity is admitting that and then doing better. And none of these people are showing any remorse. They're not showing any, they're not taking responsibility for any of their actions. They're just blaming it on everyone else.
Well, think about it, right?
Now, that's how you want to live. That's the crowning leadership of the FBI. It's just, you know, the damage it has also done with our state, our federal, state, and local partners. I mean, the credibility is shot, and I'm hearing that from current agents all over the place.
I got two guys working on a task force. They told me about a week and a half ago they're out with, up in Newark, your old stomping ground, my old stomping ground, Newark, New Jersey. They're out on something, a warrant or search warrant or something. Or maybe they were just questioning somebody. But they showed up at the door with they had two FBI agents, maybe more. I think they were doing like a couple different places in the neighborhood. And they knocked on the door and the guy's like, beat it, I don't have to talk to you. And they're like, what? Slams the door. And the agents is like, yeah, we're getting a lot of that lately. And you would never, ever get
I'm
that.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that too.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that from across the country, you know, and yeah, you're right. We didn't get that. People were excited when they, you know, when you came, I hate this, you know, even if you were there for someone in the neighborhood, but they were excited to actually, that some of the FBI came to their house, you know, for the most part, if it wasn't anything that was adversarial, background checks and stuff like that. They were excited to invite you into their house. They were so excited to give their opinion on something. Or talk
I was excited when they
now,
kicked my door in. I was
shit in your pants.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
no,
real
I tell
excited.
You, no. You know, but I mean, if it wasn't adversarial, because we did background investigations on new applicants and, you know, 5-year reinvestigations of agents, which I'd like to know how the 5-year reinvestigations went on these coup people. But, you know, you went to like the references and you also did the neighborhood. And the neighborhood was really somewhat enjoyable because, you know, it really made you realize that people had a lot of respect for the FBI. From what I'm understanding now, that shit's gone.
Yeah, I think the very fact that you're getting blowback when you're knocking on doors to talk to people and they're slamming doors in your face, that is a 180-degree difference from just a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, I had 4 years prior law enforcement before getting into the FBI. And, you know, even then, you know, you got the respect and everything. But you felt it really a lot in the FBI. It isn't the agency that any of us joined. And you'll hear that a lot from retired and current agents. They're dropping like flies. A lot of them are jumping over to other agencies. I know two agents I work with, one I supervise, that just walked out and never came back. Very talented agent. I rated outstanding, which is the top rating you could get, walked out, just never came back, said I can't deal with the corruption.
That's interesting.
You know, and I've been out a little while, but I didn't know, you know, I noted years ago that the suicide rates had skyrocketed. I'd love to know what they are now.
Well, we've talked about suicide rates before. I mean, that's something the Bureau refuses to even acknowledge as a problem, and it's a big problem.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem in all of law enforcement, and it's a big problem in the Bureau. And they don't, if you're having an issue, like when I was going through my divorce, you know, normal procedure, it wasn't like it was some contentious big thing. But they smell blood and they come after you. I mean, they tried using my divorce in the OPR, and it was like 4 years earlier, like hello, or 5 years earlier.
So any weakness, but they'll use it against you, yep, if you have a gripe against them.
And you know what? If they feel that you have any kind of weakness, they just will come after you just because it's their power hungry self. They want, like was said in the article, they want to make themselves look good so they make others look bad. That's not leadership. That's not the premier law enforcement agency of the world.
Well, I've said to people
that
you can't even imagine how they come after the public sector, guys like me, when they go just as hard against their own people. I've never seen anything like it. It's like, it's out of control.
They go harder.
Yeah.
They go harder against their own people. I mean, they do surveillance. My friend Mike, they got involved in his custody battle. He has not seen his daughter in over 8 years because of lies they told in court. And they're not admitting that they did anything with the court. They're saying, we weren't there. It's in the court record.
Well, I'm familiar with the case you're talking about, but they also put him on some, I think they put him on some kind of watch list to use as a leverage in court to say the guy's dangerous.
That's exactly what they did.
Right.
Yeah. And they, and then that person wins the lawsuit, and now still the judge won't let him see his daughter. I mean, he's been absolved of all of it, but because of what they did and went to court, and it was supposedly, according to him, Newark and Baltimore agents both did it. And that's how they treat their own. I mean, they do aggressive surveillance. I mean, they did surveillance of this guy on a military base while he was on military leave.
I'm not surprised.
And you know what that says to the military? How dare you come on our fucking base and surveil one of our guys, a colonel, one of our guys, who's working for us right now?
Oh, these guys throw all the rules out the window when they want to do something. They,
yeah.
And there's a couple agents, you know, and a couple agents in Connecticut that they surveilled that had gripes against them, and they were like sitting on these guys' houses. I mean, you're probably familiar with it. We don't have to mention any names and stuff. Yeah,
they did it to
you too, right?
And you know, and then I get reports from other people that if you report like a security violation or you report something of wrongdoing, they come after that person for reporting it when it's the person's duty to report it.
And this is why people
focus OPR on them.
I'm not making excuses for people who don't stand up to corruption because I'm standing up to it. You're standing up to it. But
yeah,
people always say, why don't people, you know, blow a whistle on this? Because they'll turn your fucking life upside down. That's why.
Well, I went off on a thread I think it was yesterday or day before, because someone was asking me an extremely good question on Twitter. She was really good question. She says, I don't understand, you know, why people don't stand up. So I went on what happened to me. And I said, you know, I am standing up. So I know there's a way you can stand up and still try and be hidden. That was impossible in my case because of who I was going up against. But they destroy you. They do everything they can to do to make you just lose it. I mean, you know, I've moved 4 times in 7 years. I've been in the hole in money, you know. And then here's the other thing I said. If you want us to stand up so damn much, why aren't you supporting us? Like the liberals or the Democrats are supporting Andy McCabe, Pierce Strzok's GoFundMe.
That's insane.
They get $500,000 in one weekend. 500,000 in one weekend.
Yeah, well, that doesn't even include
the amount I have in my GoFundMe. The amount I have in my GoFundMe paid off my legal fees. That's all. I'm still in debt. I'm still scraping money together to eat. I'm still, you know, my credit still sucks because of what was done to me. It was unblemished before all this happened. So you want us to come forward, support us. And that goes back to the whistleblower laws. There's nothing in there that helps the whistleblower with their legal fees and when they lose a job and when they, you know, have to work in a deli, like one of my friends had to do. We had five kids and a wife. He's working in a deli in a grocery store because he refused to perjure himself in a trial. So the FBI said, "You embarrassed us," and fired him.
Well, this is, I'm familiar with this case, so.
Yeah.
He was told to lie as part of a criminal case, and he said, "Fuck you, I'm not lying," and then they tossed him out the door.
Exactly.
Is that right? Exactly. So it wasn't a case where he brought it and said, "Hey, he didn't sue the FBI. This was a criminal case. He was a case agent on," and they said, "You have to perjure yourself because we want to convict this guy," and he said, "No," and they said, "You're out of here."
Exactly.
Right.
Even though the judge applauded him. The judge applauded him, said, you know, this is what a true honesty and what an FBI agent is, this and that. He got back to the office, got called up to the, top dog's office and said, "You embarrassed the FBI, you're out of here." Five kids, wife, no money. This guy did nothing wrong but tell the truth. Because he had actually been an officer where this had taken place. So he knew the
right
truth. And they wanted him to perjure himself, and he refused. And he even told the judge, you know, "The U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI want me to say one thing. I can't say it. It's not the truth." So he came out and said it. And he thought, you know, I guess he thought, like we all think, that the truth always wins. Well, it doesn't. Especially when it's in something like this power-hungry struggle. I mean, this is back. His was back 15 years ago, I'd say, happened to him. So it's not something new phenomena. It's just something that, and you're right before you said about us reporting it. We've all been reporting this all along. And you got to keep reporting it. You do. But at the same time, when is it going to do something for those of us that have been reporting it? I mean, I do want to know, why are we not getting any kind of support from the president? That's whistleblowers.
Don't you think the president tweeting about it will solve it?
I don't know. No, I think
I see these tweets, Robin. Like, he tweets like he works at the corner store and he's having a beer with some guys after work. And it's like, you're the president,
well,
man. You can change stuff. Like, why are you tweeting like he tweets like I would tweet, you know? Doesn't.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the one thing that I have been saying for a while to other people, the people that, you know, are Trump 2020, is you really need to look at what the administration, this administration wants to expose and be all transparent and want to drain the swamp. Well, then there needs to be someone there on that Trump 2020 that's also looking into what's happening to these whistleblowers that are exposing it. Because we're all getting manhandled and pushed down and thrown into bankruptcy and thrown into, you know, you have people foreclosures and repossessions on their cars. They're ruining people's lives. They're ruining marriages, families. I mean, and people are taking their lives.
Yeah, that's if you don't eat a gun.
Yeah, that's if you don't eat a gun. And that's their, you know, it's almost, and I didn't want to say it, but another agent said to me, they want you to kill yourself. That's all they want you to do. That's why they go after you so tough. And they're successful in some times. And I've seen that. And I've also, you know, myself, I've talked people off the ledge. Because they come at you so harshly from every angle. And then they make things up. But then everyone believes it because it's the FBI. And they still believe it to this day. I mean, the smear campaign they did against me was just disgusting. I gave my life to that place. I loved my job. I did it well. I made a huge difference in a lot of things over the 16 years I was there. only to get huge betrayal like this for standing up for myself. You know, for actually sitting there and saying, hey, I was doing my job when I was doing this, doing my job when I was doing that. And they throw the bogus stuff at you, like time and attendance, insubordination.
Yeah, that's their big fallback.
Yeah, and
when you work 80 hours a week and you only get paid for, you know, I mean, you're getting paid on a salary, and you're probably, as a young agent, work your way up, are working 65 to 80 hours a week. You can't put that on a timesheet. You would get...
And that's an easy... And yeah. And when we were working terrorism after 9/11, 80 hours a week was easy.
Right.
Now, with me, when they're saying to me, you know, we don't have you in this building at this time and that time, and I'm like, but I have a, you know, top secret email that shows I was in a building. Well, that doesn't show in our time and attendance report. Well, your time and attendance report's wrong, and it's rigged. You have no say. You can't go and get your own records. You can't go and say, there's a law enforcement availability pay act where you are not only working when you're in the building. I mean, I was working Yemen and Somalia. There's time difference. But shit's blowing up over there. My phone's ringing over here. Everyone else is asleep. Snuggling in their bed. I'm taking calls at all hours, but I can't get credit for that. I'm on the phone for 8 hours on a holiday. They wouldn't give me credit for that.
Well, you know how they work. They're going to shove it up your ass if they can use that. And like you said, look, you don't have any access to the records. You don't have any. It investigates itself for grievances. The FBI investigates itself. There's no third party that comes in and says, yeah, you know, this agent has a point and you were wrong. They investigate themselves.
Yeah.
How the hell are you supposed to?
The performance reviews. Guess who I had to grieve my performance review to?
Oh.
Annie McCabe.
That's what I'm talking about. It's insane.
You know, it's just, you're sitting there, and I wrote him a letter with my performance review and explained everything that's going on and that, you know, all of it. And then I sent him a 2-inch binder that was top secret FBI that had all my accomplishments in there, because when I was working at the agency, I was working top secret stuff. I wasn't working secret stuff. And I, you know, packaged it correctly, had it delivered correctly to his office. And I said, you know, my job is a little different because I am the property of the CIA. And none of this is being taken into consideration in my performance review. He comes back with, you know, didn't provide enough justification to raise the rating. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. That I've been in 15 and a half years at that time. I've never seen anyone submit a 2-inch binder of their accomplishments. And, you know, that's how they get you. They run the show. They do, like you said, they investigate themselves. And they got their friends in OPR. Thank God Candace Will's out already. But there's still that punitive, destructive body that does the workings for the corrupt leadership.
Let me ask you something. You got all this going on. It's rigged. And then you go to, you're in FBI for a long time. And then you say, you know what? This is fucked up. I'm going to go talk to a guy like Grassley, his people, Nunez. And then nothing ever happens. Like, did they promise you something and they just don't deliver? That's what I hear from a lot of other people.
I hear that too, but with Grassley, he has still remains actively trying to get resolution in my case. He requested, I think, around 4 times for the Inspector General's office to just take a look at the circumstances of my case in light of the recent events. Now, Grassley is stating, you know, this, her case happened years before the election, but a lot of it shows the same type of deception and, you know, lies and all that we're seeing now. And she tried to report it. No one listened to her.
Did the Inspector General ever reach back out to you?
You know, what was that?
He writes these things to the IG. He writes these things to the IG, and then does the IG ever call you up and say, hey, let's have a sit down and talk about this?
Nope. IG comes back with, this is an EEO case, we're not going to get involved. Well, it's not an EEO case anymore, so they sent another one to them. It's no longer an EEO case. It's now in the federal district court. Look at the circumstances of her case. And they get either no answer or, you know, the first time that Grassley sent it over, they told his office that they were going to look into it. But instead, they put it in their zero file. Didn't rise to the level of further investigation. Now, I had 24 policies and laws broken in my case. That was all laid out. I sent that to them. They ignored it. 24 laws and policies broken. That's a lot in just my case alone. And I laid out what was broken and how it was broken and who it was broken by and when. I mean, I did it like I was working a regular case. Didn't rise to the level of further investigation.
What's the point of a Grassley then, or a Nunez? What, I don't understand. You go to these people, and I've been critical of these guys because I don't think they press hard enough. All right, they wrote some letters, right? But it's like, how many people are they doing this to? I know a lot of people that have gone through this process, and I sit back and say, everything's like broken. And nobody seems to really give a shit.
Well, here's the thing is I do know that in order to get information to OIG or to Durham, I give it, I push it to Nunez's office, I should say, not him personally, Nunez's office. And I've received confirmation that they've passed it. That's my way of getting information because I don't have a direct line into Barr or into Durham or into Horowitz. So I'm looking towards them to do that. I moved to a new area. I have a new representative. A lot of people have to also, you can go to Grassley and the Nunez, but they're getting a ton. They're drinking out of a fire hose on this. So you got to go to your own representatives if you can get any time with them or their office. You got to make your own representatives work for you. So that's what I'm going to do now. Now, when I was in Pennsylvania, Toomey was useless. And I have no problem saying that on our radio. Totally useless. I had no issues with Casey. He wanted to help. In Illinois, I had Durbin and Duckworth. Like,
good
I was going to get
any
help there. Yeah, I tried, but, I want to see. And if no one's going to do anything for me, then what are they there for? Where are your constituents? We're having a problem with a federal agency. I mean, I've been waiting 4 years for my personnel file. Just that. Just give me my personnel file.
It's insane.
4 years.
That's insane.
Yeah. That is insane.
Remember, it just comes to mind. Remember McCabe was like tweeting, oh, they won't clear my book proposal. It's been like a long delay. And I'm thinking, there are people waiting for their stuff from the FBI for decades. What is he talking about?
He's also complaining. He's complaining that he wasn't getting his personnel file and stuff as
right,
well.
Exactly.
And it was like
it's
a month.
What?
It's like a month.
What?
And I think, and I tweeted out, get behind, get in the back of the line, bitch. I've been waiting 4 years.
Take a number,
you know,
pal.
You want to sue? Yeah. And guess what? My case is entering the 8th year. So have fun while you're sitting in the jail cell fighting your case.
It's just, well, again, it goes back to there's two different sets of rules for two different tiers of people, and he's obviously in an upper tier, protected class, and you're not, and I'm not, so we're in a different tier, so he expects to get his stuff, bing, bang, boom, you know? He thinks this is like the express line.
Yeah, and it's not. He's going to get a rude awakening because it's not, and it's nothing that they're going to be doing against him. It's just this is how long it takes. And the fact that he rose to deputy director, they have to review that. So his is going to take forever. Mine should not be taking 4 years. It was supposed to only take like a year to a year and a half. But they keep giving me the same excuse and keep pushing it off another year and a half, another. So I just, I'm letting my attorneys handle it.
What happens?
Now it just.
What happens if he walks and nothing? For me, I think McCabe is. If you're going to be seriously going to reform the FBI, he's the first domino that falls because there's so much stuff on him. And what happens if he walks away unscathed from this, and I guess in essence just keeps getting richer with his GoFundMe and his CNN contracts and things like that. If nothing happens to this guy, he's never indicted. What the hell does that mean to any of us and to you?
That there's no justice, and you can't count on the right thing being done by your justice system. And I mean, to me, it just, you know, it shatters any thought of good that I had in the justice system. And you know, I'm a true patriot. I went out there, I took that oath. And I, you know, I still believe in the mission of the FBI. I just think there needs to be some reforming done inside. But if he goes out not indicted, I mean, it's going to damage the whole FBI. It's going to damage. I mean, there are a lot of people inside the FBI that are very upset with him not being charged. A lot of people. They're like, well, he can get away with it, so can we. So what does that foster? What does that foster?
That's the recipe for corruption.
Yeah, exactly. Recipe for corruption. But, you know, it's hopelessness. If he doesn't get indicted, you leave a lot of people out there that feel hopeless. And that is not a way to have a country feeling. You know, and then you get these people on the left that are so brazen and see, he didn't do anything wrong and this and that. You know, and then look what they're doing to Flynn. I mean, they went in front of Congress, said they didn't think he intentionally lied. So they're believing McCabe in that, but they're not believing Flynn.
Well, that's the whole point, though. I mean, it all goes back to, for me, maybe, it's not even a maybe anymore. In my mind, I know that these guys, Comey and McCabe and this whole crew, they have a bucket load of leverage against the beautiful people, you know? And if they get leaned on, they're just going to spill it, and it's going to be chaos. Now, I'm all for that. I like chaos. I think if we need, you know me, if we want to reform if we want to reform things, there has to be chaos. It's a natural byproduct of reform. There's going to be chaos. I'm not saying like people in the streets with pitchforks. I'm just talking about upheaval, taking people out of their comfort zones. Hey, it's the same thing they do to us when they say you're fired, or hey, you're indicted and you're going to fucking prison, buddy, or Gritz, you don't have a job anymore after 16 years. Get out. I don't care if you're living on the streets. That's chaos. So
it is. And it's chaos. Like hitting rock bottom before you get rehabilitated, you have to hit rock bottom.
If you get rehabilitated, you know,
but you also have to admit you have a problem.
Well, I mean, a lot of people decide, hey, you know what? This is pretty heavy. I mean, I've talked to FBI agents. One woman, thank God she's still with us, but she was talking to me about she would look out a kitchen window and into her backyard and think, hey, that's a good place to kill myself. It seems very peaceful back there, you know, 15, 20 yards from the patio. It seems like a nice little grassy area. That's where I'll kill myself. And the only thing that stopped her is that she said, oh, well, that's probably what my family's going to see when they look out the window. They're going to see that I'm laying in the grass. So she didn't want that memory and that trauma for her family. But they took her to that point where it's like you're actually plotting the spot where you're going to kill yourself. It's total chaos.
Well, you know, I don't think, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that have gone through whistleblower and EEO retaliation, and I'd say the majority of them have at least once considered taking their own lives. More than once, more than that, most have, well, a lot of them have attempted it. and were unsuccessful. Thank God. You know, and then I've talked to people, I've sat down with people for hours, and one person who tried twice and, you know, still can't find a job how many years later after leaving the FBI, and who was sexually assaulted. And you just sit there, you're like, they went after her after she reported the sexual assault.
I'm not surprised. And I think I know who you're talking about. Was it, it happened in Quantico?
No, no.
It's a different one. See, it's like, we could just pick and choose stories all day. It's like one story after another.
You know, and you're just sitting there, and the person has so many, you know, I mean, if you look, I hate to say, if you look at my resume, I got a master's degree in criminology, bachelor's criminal justice, you know, 20 years of law enforcement, highly decorated while I was in the FBI and when I was in probation. Worked major cases, you know, got trained up in Harvard for strategy, been in private industry. You know, it took me 2.5 years after I left the Bureau to get a job that paid over minimum wage. How is that possible? Because they blackball you. They blackball. This poor girl is trying to get a job, has so much going for her, so much her educational background, her certifications, everything. And she can't get a job.
Well, I have to call you. If I want to hire you, like when I applied at Citigroup, they checked out all my government affiliations, and they call up and they say, yo, what's the story on Moore? Is he cool? Is he not cool? And, you know, sometimes you have to send something in writing. And if they say, no, he's a jerk, don't hire him, then guess what? You don't get a good paying job.
And the thing is, that's against the law. But
these guys all,
no one is willing
these guys
to stand
all know
up
each
and
other,
say that
though,
that
you
happened.
Know what I mean? A lot of these guys know each
no,
other.
But, no, that's what I'm saying. But they know each other, but that's against the law. But at the same time, no one is willing to turn around and say, hey, this is what was said to me about you, and I'm willing to testify to that.
Yeah, right. You get a letter in the mail. Sorry, we didn't meet our
you
qualifications.
You selected another person. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was in interviews for one job that I was perfect fit for. Went through a couple of interviews. I, you know, expected at least to be in the top two, and the recruiter I was talking to was like, you blew it away. It was awesome, you know, and then she called me back and said they picked someone else, and I asked, and she said she would never testify to it, but someone did call, and someone said something nasty about me.
Well,
and it was probably in the family of the McCabe cronies.
Yeah, that's their shtick. They want to make sure. And that's what we talked about earlier. It's a vindictive lot. They just want to punish you and take you down. One of the first times I ever talked to you, I said, these guys, they want to take you to the ledge. And I think they get entertainment out of seeing, is this person going to take the leap and just end it? Or are they going to stick around and fight? We don't care either way because it's fun for us. It's like this twisted mentality. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how to explain it, but
you know, you're characterizing it correctly. I mean, you're like I told you earlier. I've heard this from several people that have been through this. They would like to see you kill yourself. They get joy out of it. It's sick. It's a sociopathic culture that gets a rise out of that. I mean, that's just you watch horror movies with people. The serial killers that get a rise out of things like that. And you're getting it. That's happening in your premier law enforcement agency. And it's being allowed to happen. It's been reported for years. I talked to people that were in my shoes back in the 90s. This shit happened to them. And they said it will not rest until you become basically self-employed and you are your own boss. Because then, you know, you're not going to fire yourself. And that's true. How can you have any job security when you know they can come in after you've been 4 years, you know, at Discover and say you violated some code of conduct and the person that is in charge of that is on the character witness list for Annie McCabe.
Okay, so people are going to listen to this. They're not going to know what the hell we're talking about. You went to Discover Card. And it's like I was at Citigroup, so it's a financial institution. And your supervisor was linked to McCabe, and McCabe released a witness list that he would have during his alleged criminal trial, and your supervisor is on this list, and then suddenly you lose your job. Is that pretty much characterized?
Well, no, it wasn't my direct supervisor. It was the supervisor over internal investigations, the director of internal investigations.
But the guy, he's at Discover, right?
Yeah, he's at Discover.
All right.
He is, you know, out of 10 people on Andy McCabe's character witness list, he's one of them. What happened was I was let go, and then like a week later, that list came out. And it was eye-opening, although prior whistleblowers had already called me and said, you do know this is retaliation. And I said, you know, how can I prove that? How can I push that forward? And then that list came out, and I was like, ding, right there. Yeah, I put it to my attorneys, and I say, what do you, par for the course, you know, code of conduct violation is kind of the same as, you know, time and attendance and subordination. And then they try and block you getting unemployment.
Yeah, that's another trick.
Yes, the state of Illinois was not having that. Once I told them what happened, they were not having that. They were like, oh, no, we will not be part of this scheme to retaliate against you for making protected disclosures. And, you know, but unemployment, you know, when you're working at a job and you're paying, you know, high rent in Chicago area, unemployment only goes so far. So again, I drain my savings. The savings I had, gone.
Well, let's go
absolutely
back.
Absolutely gone.
I ask people this question all the time. And some folks I've had on the show, since the show is pretty relatively new, your feelings on Law and Order, Department of Justice, FBI, now that everything's happened to you compared to when you first rolled up into Quantico and were a fresh-eyed young woman joining the FBI. And, you know, you believed in truth, justice, the American way, and all that stuff, like we all did when we started. I say that because you think you're going to make a difference, improve the country, do good. But what are your feelings now on the other side? You're on the other side now, so, and you've had all these mountains to climb and valleys to weather, and so to speak, you know, with all your challenges with the Department of Justice. And what are your feelings now on all that stuff?
The current culture in the FBI is not one that you're going to make a difference. Not one that you're going to, that everything you do, if you're doing it for right, that you're not going to get targeted by power hungry people. I mean, it's sadly disappointing. Could that be brought back? Yes. But again, you've got to hit, like you said, chaos. Can that be brought back? The whole culture needs to change in the FBI. The whole stabbing each other in the back, the way they do promotions, the way, you know, Straw called it the white male agent hierarchy works, that's all got to be abolished. Can you do that? I don't know if you could do it 100% in any agency or any organization, but you can do a lot by getting rid of the dead weight and the bad weight. And by recognizing people with real leadership skills, a lot of people out there in the field that haven't gone up in leadership because they saw this happening, but that may go up in leadership should these obstacles, major obstacles, sadistic obstacles, get eliminated. I guess when I went into the FBI, I was scared to death. But I went in, you know, part of my family is law enforcement, or part military, has raised, you know, Marine brat, and you know, it was for my country, for doing good, protecting and serving. I'm a protector, so I enjoy working counterterrorism because it's protecting the American people. Now it's like I still would enjoy working that. I still love my job, but how much of my work did I not know it was being pushed to the side by this group that had their own agenda? And, you know, now that I've gone through all this, it's depressing. It's depressing to look at it and go, you know, I'd never expected to be in this position. I never in a million years did I expect to be in this position. I should be retired now for a good year. I only had 4 years left when they pushed me out.
Right.
But when you look at it, God, it's just disappointing. It's just so disappointing. And if change is not made soon, I mean, the amount of people that are upset that are inside the organization, it's going to implode. It's, you know, there are so many people that just want out. They just want out. They're jumping to DHS, jumping to DEA, anywhere they can go. Other agencies, like I've talked to people from DEA, they are just so shocked at how long they have held the FBI in such high regard. And that all this stuff is coming out on what is done to their own inside. I mean, I had a friend from the Department of Defense say, FBI is always known as being the worst to their own. You eat your own. And maybe I didn't see it when I was in there because I just kind of pushed people, you know, whenever they would give me some kind of nasty comment or something, I would just ignore them and be like, I'm just doing my job. Checking and serving, everything will work out. The truth will come out. Well, that's not the FBI anymore. And, you know, I don't mean that against the people in the FBI. There are, you know, people are sick and tired of hearing there are good people in the FBI. There are. There are a lot of good people in there. A lot of people that are trapped in an organization that goes after their own. They're keeping their heads down. They're waiting to retire. You have agents out all across the United States making those terrorism cases, disrupting terrorist plots. You don't hear about it every day, but they are out there. But at the same time, some of those people are also getting targeted for destruction by certain people in the FBI.
Well, the whole thing is sad, Robin. It's a sad state of affairs.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, you are targeted for destruction, and they don't stop. I mean, it's almost 8 years later, and they're not stopping.
Well, they're not going to stop. They have unlimited resources. They don't have to pay any legal fees, and they're vindictive. It's like a perfect storm of chaos.
It is. And when is someone going to step in and take reins and stop this shit?
Well, I think...
That's my question.
It's a great question. And I think my personal feeling is, I'm not talking like as a journalist now, but as just a guy who is a patriot. That's why I went to the polls and voted for Trump. Because I said, okay, this is a guy who gets it. He's talking about locking Hillary up on the campaign trail. He's talking about crooked FBI, crooked, you know, that they let Hillary off. And I'm thinking, this is going to be good. This guy is going to do something. And now we're 3 years in, 3+ years in, by the time, you know, summer rolls around, you're 3.5 years in, or spring rolls around, 3.5 years in, and the only people that have been indicted are people connected to him. I don't get it.
And honestly, when I voted, of course, I voted for the same reason. If Hillary won, you know, I just knew my case would have just been over. I mean, he gave my case hope. He gave a lot of us hope. And you know, for the long time that the FBI has been allowed to do this, I mean, like I'm saying, my case started in 2012. Problems started way before that.
Right, yeah, right.
It doesn't happen overnight. It can't happen overnight. But you got to look at the actions that are out there right now. I mean, Ray is not accepting the fact that there was wrongdoing in the FBI. He is not accepting it. He's rolling out FISA reform to the field offices, not to the people that are sitting there that actually did the shit or looked the other way when it was done. He's rolling it out to the field offices who are sitting out there going, it wasn't us.
Yeah.
We had no idea that stuff was going on.
To me, Ray is coming off like the abused spouse. He just keeps going back.
Well, you know what?
You know what I mean? It's like
he's trying to fit in. He's trying to do this. Dude, you're the director. You're not going to fit in. You work to make that machine work in the right manner, in the right way, in the right direction. He's trying to be, I mean, I appreciate, you know, the stand behind your agents and everything, stand behind your employees. But dude, this shit, this stuff that was done was wrong. It was criminal. Except the fact that wrongdoing was done.
Well, you know about the rapes in Los Angeles. I mean, he didn't, the FBI agents that were accused by coworkers of sexual assault, he didn't do anything to those guys. So when you do, when you see something as egregious as that, two guys out in the LA office, field office,
walked out. Yep.
When you see that he didn't even kick it over, I don't even know if this is like public news, but from what we've been able to find out, he didn't even, I don't think, notified LAPD about it. He just said, you guys get out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he was, anyone was notified or anything like that. I just know that it was hushed. And well, look at what happened during the furlough. There were people that had a huge party in the counterterrorism division, were drinking on
duty.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Wearing weapons. You know, I mean, I would never thought of that. I would never thought of doing that.
Yeah, but nothing happened to these guys.
How different it is.
What happened? Nothing happened to them. They got like a
nothing.
Don't do it again.
Nothing.
So
nothing happened to them.
How are you supposed to reform something when the parent in the house, Ray, is like the cool guy buying their teenagers kegs on the weekend and saying, hey, you know, we'll be the cool family. Come on over, have all your friends. And then all chaos happens when they leave the house. They're crashing cars. They're doing stupid things. And nothing changes. It's insane.
You know, back in the day when Louis III was the director, he had bright lines. You know, DUIs, termination. Fight for your job. Fight to get your job back, basically. That was termination. Lack of candor has always been termination. And there were things where he set zero tolerance. And they stuck with it. Didn't flounder.
One of those things is you can't like screw a coworker if they're married. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Well, here's the thing with that is because you are now subject to blackmail, and therefore your clearance is questionable. I mean, you know, you holding your clearance is questionable. Like the whole thing with Strzok and Page. I don't know why their clearances weren't totally suspended when that was first found out. And they should have been suspended without pay. They would make you tell your spouse. And you have to prove that you told your spouse. Yeah, because then you're not as subjected to blackmail.
And people say, oh, blackmail. Now, who's going to blackmail? The Russians? No, fucking supervisors.
Yeah, well, there's blackmail going on inside, which you just made a huge point that I've never made. Yeah, there's blackmail amongst them. But yeah, the Russians. Yeah, you know, whoever wants to come over and say, hey, your wife is over here, but you're screwing this chick. How would your wife like to find out about that? Well, you know what? Why don't you just give me a little information?
Yeah, I mean, look, and people say, oh, that doesn't happen, but what about Robert Hansen?
I was thinking of Robert Hansen.
He was a master criminal operating inside the FBI. Yeah.
He was a freak. You know, my opinion is we may have that here. There may be some issues here. If we're seeing all this Russia, and you're seeing, you know, like McCabe worked Eurasian organized crime. You know, he's meeting with oligarchs and he's driving the limited edition Porsche around, you know, buying a house in Chappaqua. Yeah, I just that in a 5-year reinvestigation that we would do every 5 years on an agent was because of Robert Hansen. Now, if I was doing his 5-year, saw the Porsche sitting there, you know, the house in Chappaqua, he's got a second house, plus his house where he's living. I got to question it. Where's that money coming from?
Well, you wouldn't be able to get past. Are you talking about like an OPM investigation every 5 years?
No, you do. FBI does their own internal.
Oh, that's right. Like DEA does OPM, but
CIA does their own internal.
Which is actually crazy in a sense, too. That can be corrupted as well. I mean, OPM's a little bit harder to corrupt because it's third party, but...
Yeah, but you know what it is? They do their own EEO investigations.
Right.
So when I reported that I was discriminated against, the FBI investigated it. And of course, found no discrimination. I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, I don't think fact that McCabe's wife, got... we're calling a $1.25 million from a political donation at the time that he was investigating Hillary Clinton and things like that. I don't think that would have gotten past an OPM investigation 5 years for clearance and stuff. It would be like, whoa, 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 what?
And look what happened to the Hatch Act. I filed the Hatch Act complaint. Nothing was done on it. When he was fired, they closed it. Why would you close that? That is serious stuff that, needed to be investigated and then turned over to Department of Justice to adjudicate, to decide if they wanted to go after him or not.
If you can't go after him on a Hatch Act, they're not going to go after him for anything. You know what I mean? Hatch is like entry level complaint. I don't think you can get fired for that, but you can get suspended, I think, for maybe 30 years.
You can get fired out of that. Yeah, and you can get fined. Yeah.
And that's for when he was campaigning with his wife on behalf of using his position in the FBI to boost up his wife's campaign.
Yeah, and FOIA documents show FOIA documents not only from The Hill, or actually Circa, and from Judicial Watch show he used his work email to further that. And he also, he said this is something that a lot of people have not looked at, and I put out on Twitter a bunch of times, and I pushed to people, is he said he had lunch with McAuliffe, when actually McAuliffe's office complied with a FOIA request and sent the schedule. He met there at the mansion with his wife for breakfast, coffee, basically, and then was to accompany him. Well, he and his wife to accompany McAuliffe to... They had VA DP, which was the actual annual Democratic Party of Virginia conference. So did anyone look at whether he attended a conference for the Democratic Party of Virginia as the deputy director or associate deputy director or ADIC, FBI? I've pushed that. It's like this guy may have spent an entire day with McAuliffe. And he's telling you he just had lunch. But according to McAuliffe's schedule, he was with him.
Yeah,
the
Robin.
Entire day.
The FBI's public corruption division was investigating McAuliffe at the same time, and McCabe had oversight. So what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, because I think when McCabe had oversight, he was ADIC Washington Field, the assistant director in charge of Washington Field. And it was being worked off of the public corruption squad there. And so he had oversight. So while he goes out and meets with the subject of an investigation, which is huge, I don't think he even notified them he was doing that. And that's their subject. That's their case. And he goes and has, supposed lunch with them, but according to McAuliffe's schedule, he spends a day with them.
That's where the case goes down the tubes. You took $1 million plus from the guy.
Yeah.
It's literally
isn't it
insane.
Around the same time that he got the Porsche? Isn't that around the same time he got the Porsche?
I think so. The Porsche is kind of, getting registered motor vehicle records is legally. Now, I know guys who can get anything illegally. But getting it legally is tricky in Virginia. So it's hard to say when he got, but that definitely falls in the same time frame. Now, don't forget, the people at the FBI start talking. That this guy is showing up to, cruising around the Hoover parking garage in a Porsche. Now, most federal agents don't drive Porsches, so it stands out, And people start talking. So that is around the same time frame.
I do know one agent that had a Porsche, And he used to talk about how he was a kept man because his wife was an attorney. She made a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
now,
that's
different.
Now, when
they do this reinvestigation, they look at her income as well. And it fits it. You know, so, and it wasn't a brand new limited edition Porsche. It was like a classic, or not a classic because he paid a lot of money for it. Let's put it that way. But it made sense. The time people started talking about Andy McCabe coming around FBI headquarters with the Porsche was also in the time vicinity of her getting that money.
I mean, whether there's anything illicit there or not, the conflict of interest used to be the appearance of impropriety. Not just that there's a bona fide quid pro quo, but the appearance of an impropriety was also grounds when it comes to public officials, police officers, of you've run amok on conflict of interest because the public can say, hey, wait, just like we're talking about. We don't know if the guy bought this stuff with illicit money, but it sure looks a little funny when a criminal investigation was going on with McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia at the time, that never resulted in an indictment. I don't even know if there was a grand jury. And then the target of a probe gives the wife $700,000 to $1.25 million to run her campaign. And nothing happens. Nobody is even indicted for it. There's no grand jury. It's insane.
And for what I understand at the time, she didn't even have a chance of winning that.
His wife, McCabe's wife, wasn't a politico. She's a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, surprise. Someone calls her up and says, hey, maybe you want to run for Senate. You know, maybe bring your husband, you know, to have some coffee, some lunch. Let's talk.
Here's $700,000. Yeah, And McAuliffe is like the consigliere of the Clinton family, too. And the FBI had probes, active probes on Hillary at the time. It's like, it's so corrupt, you can't even. You know, we tried to write about this and tell people about this, but it's like, I think it's literally over their head. It was like too much. And you talk about emails about the election. He was emailing, McCabe was emailing Comey at the FBI, forwarding Comey emails from his wife about the election, and a couple of those articles came from us. They were he was like forwarding True Pundit articles to Comey saying, where are these guys getting their information? I don't understand. But when you look at the email log, the email originated from the wife to Andy, and then Andy to Comey, and then Comey sent it to other people, you know, and it's like, that's just one string of emails. They probably sat around all day sending emails back and forth saying, where are these other people, whomever else is writing negative about them? You know,
it's not only that, people would say, oh, I heard your wife is, running for Senate. Oh, yeah, here's her site. Go look at it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do any
right
of that
there,
stuff.
No, that's, you're not supposed to do that. That right there is a violation. There were Republican Party of Virginia had also had snapshots from her Facebook of things he put up on her Facebook. He used social media. There was plenty there to go on for the Hatch Act. It wasn't just me writing it. It was a bunch of people, retired and former agents, talking about it. And I wrote it on behalf of them. I mean, because a lot of them said, this is not right. Again, you and I'd be fired. Huh? We'd be locked up.
Yeah, we'd
and
still
he
be
gets
locked
to do
up.
This. I mean, it's just, it just was, it's the culture of corruption. They got away with everything and they thought Hillary was going to win and they were going to get away with it. And they didn't. So now we're seeing all this, all the stuff being done towards Trump is all the shit that they've done on the Dem side. All the stuff that, like Andy McCabe can sit there and, he's going to be targeting me. He's going to be targeting my family. How about the stuff you did, Andy, and the lives you've ruined? Take some responsibility. So I think that's another reason why, all of America does not support Andy McCabe. He talks like everyone at the FBI loved him. They just were fearful because they saw him destroy lives. he's a vindictive, hateful guy. And, you know, for him not to be indicted or charged the other day, you know, I can understand they're weighing the pros and cons of winning or losing or weakening possibly another charge or indictment against him. That, you know, if there's a bigger indictment coming down the road and that they took that into consideration, then, you know, we'll find out about that. But right now, looking at it on its face value, when you're seeing what's going on with General Flynn, and then you're seeing them decline to prosecute Andy McCabe, any sane person would question the double standard. And, you know, I was furious that day. I was disgusted, but, you know, he doesn't rule my life, but he needs to be held accountable. And no one's doing it.
Well, we're going to see where this goes. We're going to.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
We have to see.
The clock is ticking. And a lot of people recognize that. The clock is definitely ticking on this. You know, the statute of limitations don't go on forever. And sometimes I wonder, are they trying to run the clock out? Like, say, oh, well, we have to wait until after the election to put some of these people in jail. And then we have to do an investigation and a grand jury. And if you're talking about stuff that happened in 2016, that statute, yeah, the statute pops in 2021, and we're headed to 2021.
Well, if it's sedition or a conspiracy to commit sedition, it doesn't.
Yeah, I know, but that's the grand slam.
Sure,
that's the grand slam, right? We're looking for. I would take a single or a double.
Yeah, I know. Same here. And you know, here's the thing: is also he's probably still doing, because he doesn't think he did anything wrong, so he's still perpetrating it. So, you know, it still starts the clock over again on some of the stuff. But I guess everyone was hearing from, you know, from Sean Hannity and others that, you know, indictments were coming, and then we got that declination. So, you know.
You know what, though, Robbie? You were the difference between, like, you or I and guys like Sean Hannity or whoever it is in the media. It's always treacherous to put a time frame or some kind of definitive spin on this person's going to jail, this person's getting indicted. There's so many different moving parts to get to an indictment. That person who, even if a grand jury indicts that person and remains sealed, it's the discretion of the Justice Department whether they want to cut a deal with that person before they cut an indictment loose. So there's so many moving parts. So whenever you tell people this guy's getting indicted, like last week somebody was saying McCabe's getting arrested and so is Strzok, and I'm thinking, first of all,
I put it out because I was wow.
Yeah. First of all, it doesn't make any sense. But second of all, there's no crystal ball of this stuff. Things can change.
Change
at the last minute, change on a dime. So to say, it's for Hannity to keep saying this, it makes no sense practically if you've been on the other side or even whether you, regardless of what side of the table you've been on, whether you're a defendant or the Justice Department. It doesn't make any sense because there's so many different moving parts. It's just, you're blatantly lying to people. That's how I see it.
You're getting people's hopes up. You're putting people in chaos when they shouldn't be in chaos.
Right.
And, you know, that's not helpful to anything. It's not helpful to Trump. It's not helpful to, you know, Sean Hannity. It's not helpful to the Justice Department. It's not helpful to any of us, especially those of us that have been casualties of this vindictive prick, for lack of a better word. There, you know, it's disheartening, it's demoralizing, and it's emboldening him. It gets him out there and his attorney out there, you know, it's emboldening them. Now justice has been served and him and his family can live, you know, like they should be living.
Well, sometimes I think this stuff is done on purpose, you know, that they work in concert with. I'm not saying Hannity does that. I mean, he might. I don't know. I don't know too much about his operation, but I do know that if he were your financial broker and you took his advice, you'd be bankrupt by now. I know that. Every time he says something's going to happen, it doesn't happen. And I think there's a there used to be a responsibility on the media's part to tone it down if you didn't have the goods. But that's obviously that's long out the window. Now it's complete.
Oh God.
Complete and utter chaos. So, you know,
they wake up, they get their crystal ball and they see what's in there and then they come and report it.
Yeah. And when it doesn't turn out, there are no consequences. So they just can do the same thing over and over and over, regardless if it's wrong. And for some reason, people keep watching these guys. I don't know. If I get like one thing wrong, they'll string me up on an oak tree. You know what I mean? But we haven't gotten, I don't think we've gotten anything major wrong. But for some other reason, if you're on TV, you can get stuff wrong all the time. And it's like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it keeps
going. Well, you know what the problem was the other day? It was the same day that the declination came out for Andy McCabe. They were saying that it's going to be a big boom or something having to do with the FISA. People are going to, heads are going to roll or something. I can't remember what they said. It was the same exact day. So everyone's like, yeah, I'm throwing the bullshit flag. You know, how much can you take? Because then they're going to say something and no one's going to expect it and you're going to see people in cuffs. That'd be a great day. You know, it's nice to be a little bit surprised on that type of stuff. You don't know when it's going to be, you know?
It's impossible.
I could be going to the store. He'd go to the store to get some milk and he gets arrested and no one knows about it for like a week.
Yeah, because you can cut a deal. They can, if they're looking to move it up the flagpole, if you bag Strzok, right? If you bring Strzok in, whether you're doing a proffer or you just do a straight diamond or whatever, you're looking for him to flip up the ladder. You don't want him to flip down the ladder. Who gives a shit about down the ladder?
Yeah, they're looking for Comey. They're looking for Brennan. They're looking for Lynch.
Yeah, Holder, you flip Obama, a guy like Strzok, then he flips on McCabe, and then maybe McCabe flips on Lynch, Holder. And then you work your way up, you know, call me, of course, but I'm saying you don't work your way down. That makes no sense. Maybe they are working their way down. Who knows with that group, but.
Yeah, you just, you know, so you're hoping, you know, you hear, and then you hear rumors that he's singing. Now, is that, it's rumors. You know, until I see what's the, you know, we want to win. We want some small wins here. And we probably really need them. But that's not the way these cases work. If you notice, nothing is getting leaked out of Durham's case.
Well,
it's all out of the D.C. stuff.
It makes you wonder if what's going on in Connecticut. I mean, we got some guys up there. And I don't know if there is a grand jury yet. So I would think.
I don't know for sure.
When there is a grand jury, that increases the chances of there being leaks. So if there are no leaks yet, to me, that means what I'm hearing is there's not much going on as far as it's moved outside of Durham's office and now it's into the courts. You know what I mean?
Well, people have asked if I've been called, and no, I haven't. You know, I don't think I have I have information that's been passed along, but I mean, you know, I don't know. Hell, I'd love to go up there and say what I have, but you know, they have their investigators, I don't know, doing whatever, and are talking to people that were there at the time of all this happening, like on the seventh floor or, you know, in the vicinity thereof, that have knowledge. I mean, there are people that were in this group that you have not heard word one from or about. So I got to say, those people are probably talking. I know some that are, but, you know, it's tough for someone like you or me who's been put through the ringer with the Justice Department, still getting put through the ringer, to have any faith in it.
It is tough. And
I'm trying to keep it. I'm trying to keep faith, but it's tough.
There's two people, right? There's the person who is very skeptical, because of what you've gone through. And then there's the patriot who always holds out hope that truth will prevail. And
yeah.
For me, it's always the tug of war. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a tug of war. It is. I mean, it's I'm trying to be patient, but I'm like, come on, man. Come on.
I see some of your tweets. You're like very optimistic. And then I'm thinking, all right, this is positive Robin, but I know negative Robin's fucking lurking.
One thing to set me off, man. One thing.
Well,
you know.
And I wasn't going to even bother you the day. On Friday, I woke up and I was doing stuff and reading things, and this thing broke with McCabe. And I talked about it happening a week earlier, how I thought this was somewhat rigged. So I said, we're not even going to do a story because I already talked about this and the people that follow us know I've been saying this. So I didn't even do a story on McCabe being cleared and stuff. And I said, I'm going to call Robin. And then I said, no way. I'm not talking to her today. I'm going to let her cool down for a day or two. Because whatever she says to me, if I want to use it on a podcast, she's going to call me 2 days later and say, please don't use any of that stuff. But because, you know, you just get so pissed off at things. And I didn't even want to go there like emotionally and write a story that McCabe was clear, because I was like, you know what? Everybody else already has it. And number two, I just don't feel like going there, like mentally, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I didn't really feel like talking about it too much that day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was like, it was disappointing. It was a hit to a lot of people. It was a hit to the agency, the people still in the agency. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I was angry, but I think I handled it a little bit better than I thought I would have. You know, a couple tweets out there, but I guess because I've been involved in federal cases before and I've seen the lesser charges just kind of tossed aside for larger charges too. So that's why I'm keeping hope. I have seen it done before.
Well, they've got us all hooked, because now we don't know. You know, people always say to me, what's going on? What's going on? I say, I don't fucking know. Like, I hear stuff, and it, like we've talked about, you and I just talked about, things can change so fast that it's hard to say exactly what's going on. This could be happening, and then 2 days later, there's a deal we don't know about. And so it's hard to say.
They made this declination, like when it first came out, everyone made it sound like he was totally absolved of everything. And I think Department of Justice should have come out and stated exactly what was declined. Because it did put the country in some form of chaos that day. And still residual. But I think the Department of Justice had a responsibility to come out and say this, you know, I saw some people do it, but not an official from Department of Justice saying this only has to do with this. Now, I got it out of people, and I was told to look how it's narrowly worded. The declaration is narrowly worded, which, you know, I've seen those in the past. So, yeah, I'm like, okay. But at the same time, I think it really was a disservice to the American people to not explain it. Just let it come out. But you know what? I think it was his attorney that pushed it out.
Yeah, well, they want to make him seem like that he's, you know, absolved, and maybe he can go get a couple more speaking engagements and make $35,000, $45,000, $50,000, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then get, you know, Jason asking him questions. Off a crowd.
Yeah, that was
good.
Classic. The guy just sat there. That, you know, it's funny. He just sits there like a dummy. Like Jason Goodman is saying, yo, dude, what's your story? How are you sitting on a FISA panel? You're a FISA menace. And he's just like, doo, doo, doo. You know, I would have said something back.
He keeps looking up.
Yeah, I would have said something back to Jason like, hey, buddy, at least something, right? Some other pipsqueak chimed in from the corner like, that's not what it was about, man. I don't think you know what you're talking about. And I would have been like saying to him too, hey, shut the fuck up, pal. I don't know who you are in the corner. I'm talking to this scumbag, and I want answers from him. But, you know, Jason has his own very refined style. He's very refined style. But still, McCabe didn't even say anything. He's just, like, sitting there like a dunce.
you know, you would think, because I from right here, he has a communications team, he has his legal team, that someone would have given him a canned response, because it's got to be asked of him, you know. And you know, usually Andy is someone that quickly responds. So that was very unlike him there.
You know what?
And I think it was Weissman that said that.
Was it?
I'm not sure. I think it was, but I'm not 100%.
I always found the best way if somebody gets like, as like, all right, bring him up here, give him the microphone. Be like, no, let's talk about it, right? Because you can always, even if you're guilty as hell, you can always deflect things and talk about it. And just say, yeah, I get, and then you come off looking like you have absolutely nothing to hide instead of sitting there like a dummy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he could have done that. And, you know, I've seen him do things like that. But this is like,
well, you know what, the time, Robin, he's so used to not having to answer for anything that he's done. I mean, look, he's, instead of getting indicted, he's gotten book deals. He's gotten GoFundMe. He's gotten jobs. He's gotten speaking engagements, right? He's making a lot of money. What you said earlier really sticks with me. He hasn't taken responsibility. Why would you? If you had a kid that misbehaves all the time and you give them a car and you give them a house while they're misbehaving, how would they ever learn to behave properly?
Yeah, they don't have to. I mean, it's kind of like people that, you know, why did Iran do this or do that? Did they ever have to do anything for the Obama administration? No, they got everything handed to them.
Yeah.
It's the spoiled. Same thing. You know, they're spoiled. Why would you put up resistance when you're already getting what you want? You know?
Yeah, that's good. When Jason asks him the question, he just sits there. He's like, he doesn't have to do anything. He's cashing it. He's getting paid for that too. The guy's getting paid on some panel for that. And, I mean, I talked to NYU real quick, and then we'll wrap it up because I know you're busy. And I talked to NYU like a week later, and I talked to their spokesperson, and I said, are you going to have Bill Clinton in for a to give a speech to rape victims next? And the guy was like, you know, and it's the same thing, though. It's... You're paying this guy to come in and talk about FISA reform, and he's a FISA menace. Is this like an American Greed thing where he's going to teach us how to violate FISA? No, he's going to talk about how to reform it. It's literally insane.
See, and that's what people are holding out hope that he's going to get some type of charges or indictment about this FISA abuse. They're going to go after that attorney.
That guy's going to be the fall guy for sure. He's going to get everything pinned on him. He's the patsy.
Which sucks, because, yeah, he deserves to get that, but these other people deserve to get held responsible. Anyone that signed that friggin' thing, anyone that touched that. So Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, you name it. Anyone that touched that should be held accountable.
Yeah, the FISA...
And should be held accountable criminally.
Like we talked about, the FISA runs up a flagpole, not down it, so... But they'll get the guy at the bottom of the flagpole. They will. They'll nail this guy. This guy, he has to know he's in big trouble.
Yeah, he has to know. And you know, it's even when I was doing FISAs, when I was back in, because I took a lot to the court. I knew if anything was wrong in the affidavit. First of all, I made sure everything was backed up by separate documents, not the same one source, like Christopher Steele. And I knew that it. You know, I'm the one that's doing this affidavit. I'm the one that's going in there, that's a lowly, you know, supervisor, special agent, going in there, GS-14, raising my hand, saying everything in here is true, you know, to the best of my knowledge and everything. And I was very particular about that. If I couldn't prove something, if I didn't have corroboration of a fact in the affidavit, it came out. And I was used to getting grilled by the judges. They wanted to seriously know if this was necessary. Because you're trying to do the least intrusive means. And this FISA that goes forward on Carter Page, I mean, that's what's termed a sensitive circumstance, because it has to do with the political party. That had to go higher. That had to get more signatures.
So exactly.
Did they go brief it incorrectly? Did they I mean, when you see that Andy had someone change the 302 and I believe something else, but I think it was the FISA, you know, those people, he should be held accountable for that. I mean, that's under your watch. And he ultimately has to sign off on that as it being true and correct to his, best of his knowledge. And you can see in his email traffic and such that it wasn't.
Yeah, we just talked about that, though. There's no repercussions, so why not do it? Who's going to do anything about it?
Exactly. That's exactly. Look at, you know, you got the guys out in L.A. that went to the World Series. Nothing's happening to them. They went there and accepted gifts. But then you see other guys get fired and names put in the newspaper and everything. But then you got all this executive management out there in the L.A. field office going to the World Series and, you know, nothing is said. You see nothing about that. You were the only one to report that. I mean, that is just as bad as getting gifts from the press and the media and leaking. Because, you know, the team out there was under investigation at the time.
Yeah, the Dodgers were being investigated by the FBI in some kind of basically a human trafficking case where they were recruiting baseball players from third world countries that were underage and, you know, using alleged illicit means to get these people into the country. And the FBI is looking at that as part of a national case or international case, really. And at the same time, the FBI field office is out there at World Series or World Series playoff games. Yeah, the leadership at World Series playoff games. I forget what we wrote that it was World Series. You ready for this? We broke a story. We said these guys were out there at the World Series as guests of the Dodgers. They had like a tour of the place and they had box seats and the owner's box and stuff. And you know what? The FBI came back. They released something a week later and they said, true pundit got it wrong. It wasn't a World Series game. It was a World Series playoff game. So they got it wrong, man. I'm thinking, I don't care if it was a fucking, the mascots were playing a game. You know what I mean? That was their response. Yeah, their response was, oh, they got it wrong, man. So you can't trust these guys. We're like, we're the only dummies that said you guys were on the take to begin with. So they admitted that they did this,
yeah,
but
did.
We got the game wrong. It wasn't the right game. I'm so fucking sorry. These fucking guys. It's unbelievable.
Mascots are playing. I don't care if the mascots are playing.
Yeah.
No, but you know, that's true. They just fully admitted it. And it was like, that's investigations 101, man. They just totally admitted it. Now, those guys, they're basically getting nothing. I mean, they can get their promotions. I think they have to pay like the price of the ticket back. Which, you know damn well, those tickets, you know, if they're going for $50, actually they're going for like $1,500.
Well,
have
I mean,
you.
It was World Series playoff game in Los Angeles, right? And they're so there's no $50 ticket. You can't even park for $50.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But they were in a club suite. You know, you're getting food, you're getting entertained, you're getting alcohol.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know, it's a huge conflict of interest. You know, it.
And nobody, by the way, was indicted. Nobody was indicted as part of the.
Oh, no.
You know, so.
No, I don't even think anyone got any. I don't think anyone got any disciplinary action against them.
No, I mean, nobody in the Dodgers was indicted for this parallel investigation they had going, the FBI, you know what I mean? And then the guy said to me, well, wait a second, dude. Like, I got a call from a guy a week later after the story. Can't even make this stuff up. He said, you got it wrong, man. The FBI was investigating the Dodgers, but it wasn't necessarily the LA office. And I said, get the fuck out of here. I don't care who was investigating. The FBI is investigating them, and they're out there. You tell me these guys don't know about it? Who do you think you're dealing with? I don't get it. I don't.
Well, equate that with the McCulloch. Both under investigation. Conflict of interest, going out there, meeting with them, taking freebies. How's it different? You know, it's still subject of an investigation. They again admitted it to you that the Dodgers were under investigation, and it wasn't necessarily LA, but then they're admitting the LA senior leadership was at this, not necessarily the World Series, but a playoff game, getting freebies from an organization that's under investigation by the FBI. The FBI is not just the field office. It's the entire FBI. That's
right, exactly.
That's a BS answer to be given to you.
It's crazy.
That's something, you know. And was anything done? Anything done by Bowditch or by Ray? No.
No, they got letters to say, hey, don't do it again, and you might... I think the FBI had to make some kind of payment on behalf of the Dodgers, but it was minuscule to the Dodgers. And then the agents might have had to reimburse the FBI, but it wasn't for I don't know what we tagged it at 60 grand.
It might have been
a little high when I said 60 grand, but with everything. But the point is,
I think it was under $300 that they had to pay for the ticket.
Okay.
I know that.
Yeah, but...
And, you know, it had to be under $300. Probably a letter censure goes, which is nothing, goes in your personnel file. And then, you know, you're on your merry way. Go ahead, get your promotion. This is how we handle our leadership versus if it was a group of five agents. Oh, my goodness. They'd be prosecuted, locked up. Names would be all over the place.
Yeah, I mean...
You know,
it's one thing after another. We'll talk about it down the road, but we've talked about enough, and I appreciate your time. And
no problem.
And if people want to donate to your GoFundMe, what do they have to do? Where do they go?
Tell them, you know, if you Google search Robin Gritz, G-R-I-T-Z, and GoFundMe, it should pop up. That's the easiest way to do it because the link is like really long. But if you look up Robin Gritz and GoFundMe in Google, it should pop right up.
Well, where can they find you? Where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm VA Bell 2010. It was Virginia VA BELLE 2010. And on there, I have my GoFundMe. And,
right.
You know, and I've been also retweeting some of the older stories to remind people why certain things are still important. So you'll see something. Sometimes you'll see it. You know, maybe an interview you and I did with Jason, I'll put out again because we're discussing the same stuff that we were discussing a couple of years ago and how it's still important for everyone to still keep this in the forefront of their minds and still remain vigilant in the fact that this is still going on, this double tier.
I'll point people to your page and we'll go from there. And then as this thing unfolds, and it's gone on forever. I mean, I'm not even talking about your case. Is your case 8 years old?
Yeah, I'm going into my eighth year.
Jesus God Almighty. Yeah. That's what they do. Yeah. They try to grind you down. It's insane. It's really...
They do. It's draining, but, you know, at the same time, I'm lucky to have a law firm, a legal team that is, you know, passionate about pushing this forth.
Yeah,
and
it's good
representing
to have.
Me. They're not defending me. They're representing me because I'm the plaintiff, and DOJ and FBI are the defendant in this case. And, you know, they're doing it on contingency because they believe in my case. It's a tight case. The Bureau would, I don't know what they're, you know, thinking, but they, and they want to start thinking about what they want to do with my case because quite frankly, it's going to drag them through another scandal. And because a lot of wrongdoing has been done and I documented everything just as I would have done when I was working cases. So it's always very thorough. So that should be coming up. Hopefully I'll get some news on that soon. Get some court dates or something. I'll let you know about that.
Well, yeah, we'll go from there. I went against these guys. My case lasted a little bit more than 8 years from start to finish. So I know the grind and,
Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah. From start to finish was probably maybe a little over 8 years, but it's over with. And once, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, in case you're thinking that there's not light at the end of the tunnel, there is.
Yeah. Either way, I got to start, stuff back on my book because I took a little hiatus from having to move and find a job, but I had started it. I sent some my first part of it, just a little bit, to General Flynn. He said, keep writing. So you know, I gotta get back on it. It's just, you know, it's been a little hectic with moving and
book,
getting a new job.
The book would be good for sure.
Yeah, the book, I mean, I think will tell people a lot. I also, I am talking to some people about possibly writing up the playbook, which is how the FBI retaliates against whistleblowers and EEO complainants. And it's because we call it the playbook because if you look at cases, across the decades, it's all the same move that they do against you. and it's vicious. So, you know, people are wondering what happens, why people aren't standing up in the FBI. Well, here's the playbook. This is what they can face. And so we're thinking of doing that as a collective, a bunch of people doing that. You know, we all talk to each other back in the 90s, 80s, up until today, whistleblowers. We're all in touch with each other. No longer are we alone. We're all talking to each other and sharing each other's experiences and supporting each other. And we feel that's really important. So if there's anyone out there that, you know, is feeling that they're alone or they did an EEO complaint, a whistleblower complaint, reported wrongdoing in the FBI, you know, feel free to go on Twitter and reach out to me and, you know, become part of that group, because we have to support each other, because we're not getting a lot of support from other people. So
yeah, it is stunning. It is stunning. Sometimes you're just on an island and you don't understand where the hell is everybody else. But, you know, you do the best you can and you keep plugging away. And that's what my mom taught me, to keep plugging away. And we'll keep an eye on this as things go on. But thanks for giving me the time, lady.